Coming to you live from a fogged out apartment somewhere in the United States, it's the TH Cinema Podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the TH Cinema Podcast. My name is Dan, and with me, as always, is the Omicron and Delta to my COVID-19.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
No, no, no. Oh, my goodness, what have you done?
It's horrible.
The Billy in Sydney to my Matthew Lillard. I think I'm dying over here. Snort.
Hello.
Silent John.
Hello, all.
And Frank couldn't be here tonight. So we just finished smoking a lot of weed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And none of us are sick anymore, so we're doing a podcast.
Yeah, finally.
It feels good that we're all healthy, and it feels good that we're back.
It feels like we haven't done one since last year.
Oh, my God.
So around New Year's, Snort and John got a little sick, and after New Year's, I got a little sick, so we kind of had to keep putting shit off. And
it sucked.
It sucked. But we are back now, and we are actually going to be brave and go to a movie theater tonight. Okay. COVID be damned. We already showed you, motherfucker.
Laid the smackdown on your ass.
Stone Cold Steve Austin with two vaccines.
Here, I'll throw you a third real fast. Oh, Vax, yeah.
Okay. So tonight we're going to be going to the movie theater and we're going to be watching Scream.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Should be a good one, hopefully.
I'm not a big Scream head or screamer. Is there like a term for fans of Scream?
Can we just go ahead and coin screamers?
Screamers?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, I'm not a top tier screamer. I'm not a scream queen. But, you know, I enjoy my good horror movies, and Scream definitely was one of those. So I'm very excited to see what this new, like, pseudo-reboot, fucking remake, fucking whatever you want to call it, Scream colon the new generation, whatever it is. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, I agree. The original one holds a special place in my heart. That was one of the main horror movies in my childhood. Probably watched it when I was a lot younger than I should have, but I've always enjoyed it. It's always been one of my favorites, I think, for that reason. It's maybe just the nostalgia of it all. Typically, the sequel mumbo-jumbo BS you just went through doesn't work out, but I think Scream already doesn't take itself seriously as it is, to where I think it'll work better than it normally would for other franchises. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do.
So I know I don't have a lot of credit here because I thought there was a lot more screams than there were in a past episode. But guys, I was high. Stuff gets confusing. I would say that I'm not a scream queen either. I'm like a casual scream fan though. Like one and two mostly. All the other ones can't remember anything. But yeah, I'm excited to see it. This is one that I'm new to liking more horror movies, and I feel like, but this one's always been there, like I've always been able to watch these ones, so I'm genuinely excited.
But before we foray out into the cinema universe full of popcorn and candy, we are going to go over a little bit of movie news. I know there was a lot that we missed, there's a lot to digest. We're not going to get into it all because we are on a time crunch because we have tickets. But we did want to just touch on a few things. So there were a couple of trailers that dropped. The first one I want to talk about is the Studio 666 trailer with the Foo Fighters and Dave Grohl.
I feel like we're in for some really dumb, cheesy fun. And it almost feels like it's going to border like the so bad it's good. But it also feels like it could be very, very promising. Like, I feel like it's going to be one of those things that maybe we didn't realize we needed until we go see it.
Yeah, I think it's going to have a very, like, Tucker and Dale versus Evil type of vibe to it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I wasn't sure what to expect from it. I do like the band playing themselves, just kind of, you know, the exaggerated version. They look like, in the trailer, they look like they're doing a really good job acting and not just being, you know, a band in a movie.
Right, yeah. Right.
I mean, Dave Grohl in the little bits that he's always done, he's always good in it. But it's nice to see, I've always wanted to see a feature-length Dave Grohl.
Well, and wasn't he in Tenacious D, Pick a Destiny?
Yeah, that's actually, I'm really hoping that we get a Jack Black cameo as the devil in Studio 666 to return around on the Dave Grohl as the devil and Tenacious D in the Pick of Destiny.
Well, with all of the people that they showed in the trailer, it's bound to happen. Right? Lionel Richie?
Got some Will Forte popping up in there. Yeah.
I think I'm at the point that if Jack Black doesn't show up, I'll be pretty disappointed. Like, it's such an easy thing to do, and it will be so pleasing to see.
But I bet you won't be as disappointed as Dave Grohl, because if Jack Black doesn't show up, that means Dave Grohl asked him, and he said no.
Oh.
Can you just see the sad Dave Grohl face as that phone call ends and he hangs up?
No, because I can't even picture that happening. There's no way that he would say no. No, they're best friends. I can't picture them as not friends. No, it hurts me. I refuse.
I'm excited about the premise. I always love a bit where it's like, you know, actors playing themselves or actors pretending to be something else. You know what I mean? Like, that's always such a good comedic device. I like the house thing because it's kind of a Manson house, because Trent Reznor recorded his albums at the Manson house. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a little play on that. It, you know, the demonic possession stuff. It just looks like it's going to be fun, funny, gory. It's going to be fantastic.
I agree. And I think the Foo Fighters are the perfect band for something like this. I couldn't picture anybody else pulling something like this off. And I'm really excited for whatever it is we're going to get out of this.
It's going to be the rock version of Spice World. There's going to be sex aliens and shit.
There really probably is going to be.
Giant tour bus. It's just rock Spice World, and I'm on board with it.
Quick little side note to any new listeners, we do have an episode on Spice World if you'd like to go back and put a little treat to your ears there.
Head on back to the archives.
It's a good one. It's a solid one.
It's a doozy.
So yeah, that's definitely going to be a stay tuned future episode.
Because that's a February release. It's coming up pretty soon, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to have to slide that in there on our way over to Batman.
I think we can fit that in.
The other big trailer that dropped this week, we did get a Moon Knight trailer, which is the upcoming Disney Plus show, which Marvel's had a great track record with the Disney Plus shows, and it looks like it's going to continue with Moon Knight. Oscar Isaac, perfect casting for it. He looks great in it. The costume, I'm a little on edge about the final shot with the glowing eyes. Mm-hmm. I think they were a little bit too glowy.
Yeah.
But I love the character, I love the story, and I think Oscar Isaac's going to be great in it.
I don't know anything about this character at all. I've never heard of him. But just watching the trailer, I'm 100% in. That looks so good.
Yeah, to bounce off what you just said, I know zero about Moon Knight, but I'm instantly sold. I'm a big fan of Oscar Isaac, obviously. Ethan Hawke, very underrated actor. Just those two alone would get me to watch this show. But it also feels very different than what Marvel does and has been doing recently. There really wasn't any like laughable lines in the trailer, and normally every Marvel trailer has something there's the Marvel jokes. And this didn't have that, and I kind of liked that.
You know what I think? It's a Marvel show, but I think it had more of a like Mandalorian kind of vibe to it than the past Marvel shows have.
Yeah, definitely. It's much darker. It's much more of a gritty vibe than they usually go for in their shows. Marvel's done a really good job of like towing that line between not going too campy and too cartoony, like, you know, comic book movies were back in the 90s, 80s, and early 2000s. Mm-hmm. But still not going DC gritty where it's just way past where it needs to be. But this one looks like it's the perfect, like, right past their comfortability zone where they can really, like, really do something well, more like a Netflix Marvel series.
Yeah, kind of like Daredevil and, what was it, Luke Cage had a show.
Yep, Jessica Jones, same type of, you know, very based in reality yet still in this world.
Well, and I think this is kind of a glimpse at a different era of Marvel we're going to be getting, because you think Blade's coming out, they have their own Blade property coming out.
Oh, you hold on just 3 minutes on that, my friend. Oh. We're going to get there.
Oh.
So the character of Moon Knight, it's one of my favorite characters. He was like this like military mercenary, and he was assaulted in Egypt, and he ended up getting taken to this like Egyptian god temple, and the god of Khonshu revived him, and he is the spirit of Khonshu inside of him. But the dude's also got DID, dissociative identity disorder.
Ooh.
So like his Moon Knight persona doesn't know what his Mark Spector persona is doing. There's all sorts of like intrigue.
Wow.
I have a feeling that they're kind of going to do with it what they should have done with Taskmaster in the Black Widow movie, mm-hmm. which is actually, you know, flesh out that character who doesn't know what's going on or loses memory over time. Like, yeah. I think it's a really good device for the vibe that they're sending out.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's a lot. A very complex character.
Yeah, that character description that you just gave took a very, very intriguing twist for me. Just that alone, even if it wasn't Oscar Isaac, now I would be into it anyways. Like, yeah, that sounds
now you've
awesome.
Got Oscar Isaac playing multiple characters in the same show, which, you know, Toni Collette style, it's yep. fucking phenomenal when somebody gets to actually flex that acting ability to be multiple characters of themselves in the same show.
Does anyone remember when this is coming out?
This is coming out in March.
Oh, nice. So we don't have to wait long.
This is coming out, yeah.
That's like 2 months.
There is, and this is something that I want to talk about, and this is why I was saying, hold on about 3 minutes.
Okay.
I know COVID 2020, 2021 fucked up release dates and everything got pushed and moved around and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But the upcoming 2022 slate for Marvel, when you fold Sony into them, is fucking ridiculous.
See, I don't think I know everything because there's so many things announced that, yeah, I have no idea what's coming out when, so I feel like everything you're about to, like, spout off is going to blow my mind.
I remember a time when, like, Marvel movies back in the Iron Man-ish days, you know, we would get a Marvel movie, like, once every 2 years, and then I got kind of pushed up to once every 18 months, and then I got pushed up to once every year. Everybody was talking about this oversaturated market. There's too many superhero movies. And of course, they folded DC into that. But I think at this point, we've kind of like just decided DC. Like, we don't talk about DC. It's kind of locked in the attic and we feed it the leftovers. But we don't talk about DC superhero movies in the same way we talk about the rest of the house.
It's just the stepchild. Like,
yeah.
You're just here.
Yeah. Fish heads. Everybody was talking about the oversaturation of the market with superhero movies. And like seeing this many lined up, to me, comparatively, it's much more oversaturation. But I am so fucking excited as I go down this list. TV series. We've got Moon Knight dropping March 30th. We've got She-Hulk dropping in July.
Okay.
We've got What If Season 2 dropping sometime, I'd say October or November is when they're going to drop it out.
I didn't even know they were making a second season. Dang.
And then we've got the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special.
I forgot all about that.
And then we have Secret Invasion, which is the Nick Fury Skrulls show that's supposed to come out this year also.
Dang.
So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 TV series coming out.
Well, because James Gunn is like directing the holiday special? Okay, yeah, that's all I need then.
5 series. There are 11 months left in this year.
That's nuts.
5 TV series. That's 8 weeks to 10 weeks of content right there. Each one except for the special, obviously. Let's jump up to films.
Oh, man.
We have coming up May 6th, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. We have coming up July 8th, Thor, Love and Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
November 11th, we've got Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Dang, already? I thought that was still a year or two away. What the heck?
We've got Spider-Verse coming in October, Spider-Verse 2.
Oh, my goodness, I can't wait.
And we've still got Morbius coming out.
God knows when.
Yeah.
So we have 10 properties dropping in the next 11 months.
That is the crazy thing to me is I definitely got burnt out of all the superhero stuff for 2 or 3 years. I missed a whole important part of Marvel cinema. And Infinity War Endgame pulled, I think, both of us back in. And we got caught up. And I can see how that many properties in 1 year can be so exhausting. But man, I think it's just at its peak right now to where everything is going to be great. It's going to live up to expectations. And I think at this point, it's going to take a while to get burnt out on these. Like, it's just that good right now.
I originally had thoughts about this that, I think it is oversaturating. Like that's so much.
Yeah.
But as I've thought about it, I have changed my mind.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So here's my thoughts. Is that there's just so many different ways, places, everything like that to watch content that between streaming, all the different streaming channels, theaters, like everything, they have to put out a ton to keep up with like everything else that's not superheroes, you know? So I think it's like the ratio's even. So they're putting out more stuff than they used to, but think of all the ways we can watch stuff more than we used to be able to.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I've always been in on the comic book stuff. Like John was saying, like you guys picked it back up after Infinity War. I've always been in on it. Mm-hmm. Like, so the first Avengers movie, when that came out, I sat in the theater and did a marathon.
Yeah.
And watched all the movies that led up to Avengers and then watched Avengers. Thing was probably like 15 hours long, 14 hours long.
Which is crazy because that's a long time.
I watched Avengers Age of Ultron at the theater at a marathon.
Jeez.
Which was a day and a half, 19, 20 something hours, 23 hours leading up.
Still a crazy amount of time.
The difference in years, let's see. Iron Man came out 2008. Avengers came out 2012. Got a nice 4-year gap there.
Yeah.
Age of Ultron came out 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Got a 3-year gap there. And you're talking maybe, you know, 20 hours of content, 30 hours maybe. This year alone, there is 70 to 80 to 90 hours of content getting dropped.
In one year.
In 1 year. Can you imagine, like, okay, we're going to drop Avengers 5. Let's watch this 5-month-long marathon.
Oh, my God. Or imagine traveling back in time and telling Dan at Iron Man 1 that guess what? Guess what's in store?
I don't think he would believe you. I think he would have thought this thing would have eventually just burned out and flopped the fuck down, but I'm very happy that it didn't. But it's so ridiculous to see like how far it's come in just 15 years. It's not even, people don't even talk about them as like superhero movies anymore. They're just, that's what pop culture is. It's Marvel and it's Disney.
Yeah.
You know? And I think a lot of that has to do with the way that they put it out. Because every movie isn't, like, after you got past the initial, like, Avengers movies-ish,
mm-hmm.
Avengers Age of Ultron, they kind of got into this renaissance where they've been just doing these great, not just, like, a superhero movie, like it's Superman fighting a fucking bad guy, but they're doing, like, you know, Captain America Winter Soldier was a spy thriller,
mm-hmm.
you know? The upcoming Moon Knight show looks like it's a, like, dark, gritty, like, psychological thriller, essentially, mm-hmm. with a superhero in it. Like, they're not just doing superhero movies like punchy, punchy, punchy bad guy. They're doing more with it and, like, bending the genres.
Yeah, genre. They're doing a different genre in their genre, and it is fantastic.
Well, and, like, the way that everything intertwines and everything's interchangeable, like, once you're in Marvel, makes everyone, like, want to keep coming back to see the next one, no matter what it is, because who knows who's going to be in it, really, you know?
Yeah, and at this point, it's so ingrained in pop culture, like, to the point where it's, you don't need to watch a month and a half long marathon of these things, because you already know all of these things, because it is pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way you could drop a Star Wars movie 30 years after the original, or 20 years after the original release, and people can still pick up on it because it's so in pop culture that, you know, there's no need to get all the way caught up if you don't want to. But I've got very high expectations for the upcoming slate. In particular, I've got very, very high expectations for Doctor Strange, because there has been a lot of chatter going around that after No Way Home, a certain precedent was set, and I predicted that to happen in No Way Home, but they're talking about a Portals moment
mm-hmm.
happening in Multiverse.
Ooh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
I've seen something about this in like the past like week and a half, 2 weeks. It's one of those things that I don't know if I, assuming it's real, I don't know if I'm happy to have seen the rumor. Or upset to have seen the rumor.
If any of the rumors are true, because there's a lot of them. They're like, this rumor mill is just fucking churning out paper right
See,
now.
I've only seen the one that I'm thinking of.
Should we start a rumor here now?
All right. Well, from what I'm seeing, and I don't want to spoil a bunch of shit for Silent John over here.
You can say whatever. It's okay.
But you remember when I was talking about the Portals moment?
Yeah. I think we all expected that to happen.
Apparently, after Spider-Man's fucking amazing success,
yes,
one of the what top 4 domestic films ever now at this point, and still going up,
still rolling,
Disney, Marvel kind of looked at it and said, you know what people really liked? Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire showing up in this universe. So from what I've heard, Marvel pulled 6 more weeks of reshoots for Doctor Strange this month. Since, like, they've been, like, reshooting since all the chatter started going up about Spider-Man.
Interesting.
And there's a lot of talk about who's going to be showing up in this. And I think a lot of that's coming from what came after Spider-Man. And, you know, everybody's clamoring for Andrew Garfield to show up in this universe.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so much Toby coming back. Nobody's really talking about Toby. We don't talk about Toby.
I'm sorry. Garfield just stole the show.
He stole the fucking show 100%. I was not on the Garfield train, but I am choo-choo.
Choo-choo.
So after all that, and a lot of people were like me, like they weren't on the Garfield train. They were Garfield haters. They were Mondays. Because Garfield hates Mondays. And Mondays hate Garfield.
So stupid.
No, that was solid. Look, I was a big Garfield fan, and I was skeptical, okay?
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people were in that same thing, but now people are all, you know, Andrew Garfield, they're all back on the train, so Andrew Garfield's kind of like 180'd. So Disney Marvel has seen this as an opportunity to, like I was saying, focus test the fuck out of anything. And when you do this with stuff that you've already built in, like let's say we get, you know, I don't know, a certain actor who's having a great renaissance right now, who had a very underrated Marvel character at the beginning days when Marvel movies were not good, a Mr. Nicolas Cage showing up as fucking Ghost Rider. And everybody's on the Cage train, just like they're already on the Garfield train. You've got yourself a multi-billion dollar Ghost Rider sequel that you potentially are going to do well because now you're in this era of doing things well and you have the future successes of that Ghost Rider movie and the ability to use Ghost Rider in all of your blah, 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 blah. Ghost Rider and Doctor Strange have a very close connection in the Marvel Comics series. You've got the opportunity to do this with everything. And you've got the opportunity to introduce new things.
Yeah, yeah.
Pick and choose what you want. You want Michael Chiklis to be your thing, but you want John Krasinski to be your Mr. Fantastic. You've got that ability to leave one in each universe. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to get our Ryan Reynolds, Mr. Deadpool himself, showing the fuck up. Maybe we could get some Patrick Stewart versus some Michael Fassbender Magneto.
Ooh.
That's a fucking scene I'd like to watch. Those two sharing a fucking frame.
Well, and those are things that I have kind of seen. Maybe a rumor that maybe some of the X-Men characters pop up. And I don't know. I feel like I got my hopes up high in Spider-Man for a lot of people to come back. And I don't want to set that same expectation for Doctor Strange. I don't want to get myself too hyped up for it.
But you also have to think about the fact that Disney and Marvel also own all the past footage, the past audio, the likenesses of these actors portraying these characters. So very similar to how in Deadpool 2, how they couldn't use, you know, McAvoy and them weren't in the movie, but they were in that one little scene behind that little door that got closed, that quick little cameo. I'm thinking a bunch of things like that. Like that's, you don't even need Nick Cage to show up. You don't need him to say anything. You throw Ghost Rider, like just showing up out of a portal in his full Ghost Rider form. And if that tracks well with an audience, you've got your Nick Cage movie 4 years from now for Marvel Phase 5.
There's your next project.
There's your next series. Built-in fan bases.
Ooh. Yeah, I think that does better as a series.
But see, that's what I'm saying. You have all this testing that you're able to do without committing to anything. It's beautiful. Multiverse.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I want all of this to happen. I would be excited if it happened, but I'm just having so much deja vu with this conversation that I'm just staying neutral.
Okay, we'll know that something big's happening if Benedict Cumberbatch comes out and he's like, hey, everybody, no spoilers. But the potential's there. The rumors are flying. Marvel 2022. The fuck?
Time will tell.
But tonight, since there isn't a Marvel property for some reason going on right now.
I mean, we could always go see Spider-Man again.
We're on a Marvel tolerance break. We're going to go see a horror movie in January. We're going to go see fucking Scream.
Ah!
Whoa, spooking me out.
Okay, so Scream has had a few sequels. This one's a reboot. Some people say there's been 8 Scream movies. Some people say there's been 5. The debate's active. But this one looks really, really fucking good. And Scream's always been very hit or miss. Like the first one, it's the first one. It's fucking phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fucking Matthew Lillard, Nev Campbell, like perfect little cast. And it was such a fresh take. Drew Barrymore getting billed front of the poster as it was leading up, because mm-hmm. that was, you know, my era. I was there for the marketing of this. She was in every trailer without knowing that she was going to get literally murdered in the first 90 seconds. They Steven Seagal'd the fuck out of us. They liked doing that in the 90s. And it was very much like Drew Barrymore coming back, you know, like from her young acting days. Like, oh, this is Drew Barrymore. Like, it was before she, like, that kind of blew her back up, essentially. Yeah, like, she went to go on set for a day and a half and got another like 10 years of a career out of that motherfucker, and now she's got daytime TV.
She's selling like air fryers now too. I don't know, she's got so much going on.
I really hope Ghostface is getting a cut of that, because he got a cut of her.
That was a good one.
Oh, that was pretty solid.
I might have worked on it a little bit.
Do you have a Scream mask? I just want to picture you in a mirror just trying.
I actually so I don't want to be, you know, that guy that was like too cool for school before school started and shit, but the year before Scream.
Oh, here we go.
The year before Scream came out, 1995, Dan's Halloween costume was a glow-in-the-dark Ghostface mask. They found that mask at a fucking Halloween store.
It's so bizarre, but so fitting, I feel like, for that movie. Hey, yeah, that's the one.
It just adds to the whole meta-ness of Scream.
I was also a very, very big pot-smoking kid back in the days of Scary Movie. So Scream has a very special place in my heart on multiple places.
I do really enjoy the first Scary Movie. Everything after 2 is decent, but you just stop after that. But.
Well, I mean, they were emulating Scream. And yeah, and so Scary Movie, much like Scream, sequels kind of dropped off. Scream, we got a Jay and Silent Bob cameo in Scream 3. A terrible fucking Courtney Cox haircut in Scream 2. And David Arquette somehow making it all the way through?
You just gotta keep rooting for him. Come on.
He's got nothing left. I really hope in this one he's kind of like, you know, broken down.
Just real,
you know
what I mean? Real grizzled.
Like, because I'm expecting him to die, so maybe it's like they're putting him out of his misery finally. Like, he's in a bad spot. He's not the sheriff anymore. He lost his badge and his gun over some corrupt bullshit with some, you know, money that went missing. Nothing like bad, but, you know, just a little off the top, a little skim. So he's living in this shithole apartment, just kind of, you know, furniture made out of cardboard boxes and stuff. Because I think that's the only way that, as I'm expecting David Arquette to die in this, that's the only way it'll make my heart like, okay, it's time to go, David.
See, I think he's lived a different, like, life. I think he's just done with everyone's shit, and he snapped.
You think it's David?
No, I don't think he's... No.
You think he's the new Ghostface?
No, I still don't think he's Ghostface, but I think that's, like, why he's, like, living in his little box.
Oh, you think... But maybe there's going to be, like, a twist, and he's been preparing for it this whole time. Preparing for the return of Ghostface.
Yeah, that's
and
exactly
like,
what I
this
think.
This super, like, Van Helsing of Ghostfaces. So the Scream sequels, while questionable, they did kind of get better as they got into the fourth and fifth one. I like the fourth one. Personally, that was the one with Alison Brie, right?
I literally don't remember. Oh, yeah,
sorry, that might have been Scream 7 for in the Mandela Effect universe that Snort over here grew up in.
Side note, did you guys ever watch the Scream TV show that was on MTV?
No, absolutely okay, not.
Yeah, that might have been your emo days.
That was like Teeny Bopper Scream, like no.
Yeah. Okay. I think I tried to watch it on Netflix at some point, but...
It wasn't great, but I watched it.
The freaking Ghostface, like the new one, was atrocious. It did not look good.
Yeah. So Scream also did give us the greatness that is Liev Schreiber.
Yes.
That was kind of his breakout role. We had Courtney Cox kind of jumping off the Friends bandwagon into some terrible bangs, and then... And Nev Campbell shows back up at some point in the sequels as she's showing up again here. I think this is going to kind of be her, like, farewell tour again, which I think, like, the fifth one was supposed to be her farewell tour for the first time. But then they lulled her back in.
At this point, it needs to be all of their farewell tours, honestly.
It's hard to talk about, like, people coming back. Like, in my head, I'm like, oh, I wish somebody would come back, but they're all fucking dead.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, Matthew Lillard. I wish he was going to... Nope.
These are your only three.
Once you said his name, I had this small hope in my head that maybe he'll be Ghostface in this one. Like, somehow, somewhere he lived, you know.
Or they go to consult Matthew Lillard. Like, even Jamie Kennedy fucking died. Like, everybody's dead. So we get Neve Campbell back, which is awesome, and Courtney Cox and David Arquette. But aside from that, like, because I really miss the little, like, bit actors.
Yeah.
Because you kind of had a bunch of little, like, you know, C-level, D-level actors popping up all over the place. I guess we can kind of hope for a Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes cameo because they didn't die in the third one. Liev Schreiber, I'm pretty sure he died, right? Maybe.
Honestly, I don't know anymore. Like I said, after the first two, it all just kind of, it blends and it gets lost.
It blends into the SCU.
Like I said, I'm not at that screamer level, you know.
You're not a scream queen.
No, no scream
queen.
Just
a casual screamer.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a fun ride, and it's fun, a fun little horror movie in January.
Yeah.
All right. Well, John's giving me the old watch tap right now, so I guess we got to get this showboat on the fucking rowboat.
Whoa. Damn, I didn't know we were going to row to the theater. Dang, I didn't bring my life vest.
Let's go watch some motherfucking Scream.
And now, our feature presentation.
Snort and John bought the tickets, I bought the snacks, and we're back. And we just watched Scream.
Oh my god, it's Ghostface.
So overall, I enjoyed the fuck out of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it exceeded every expectation that I had for it. And then some.
Agreed.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. There's a lot to decompress. It was very meta. It was very inside itself, which I always love in a horror movie, especially, like, you know, they know that it's dumb. They know that it's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Cabin in the Woods type stuff, same as they did. I think the beginning of Scream 4 was very similar to that, where they did the, like, multiple intros to Scream, but each one was like a movie or something like that.
I think so, yeah. That sounds right.
Kind of like the end of, like, the end credits of 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, okay.
And so I really love it when a movie, like, gets inside itself and does stuff like that. So, and this was very much that, while at the same time still being very much a love letter to the Scream franchise and the time that it was made.
It is very, very relevant, like, culturally.
Somehow they managed to make the late 1990s and the current day mesh together.
It's a millennial and a Gen Z movie.
Which is exactly what you want a requel to be. And we started off with, you know, a throwback to the classic Scream and a throwback to the classic 90s with a goddamn landline. I understand the need to have it there. I understand the nostalgia of the throw. But in all reality's sake, why does this motherfucker have a landline at their house?
Do you know anybody with a landline? I don't know a single person.
With the fact that this movie was set in, like, today's world, yeah, it was kind of baffling to me. But then I had another thought. We recently talked about answering machines in a previous podcast, and if anybody still knew what they were. And that was my thought. Why don't you have an answering machine if you still have a landline?
Well, that actually looks like a built-in answering machine landline from around 1998, 1999. I mean, you gotta dig through a couple of layers to get down there. But around that time, there was, like, it was a digital landline phone.
Yeah, okay.
With a wireless receiver, and you didn't have to have an answering machine because the answering machine was built into it, like a voice mailbox.
Okay.
Like an electronic mailbox for voice messages.
It's the landline phones that they sell right now for God knows who's buying them.
I didn't know they still sold landline phones.
Apparently the people of Woodsboro, California are buying them.
It's just a small town thing, you know.
Do you think... You know how, like, generations, like, do what other generations did, you know? Do you think landline phones come back as popular?
No way.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. I think it was just there for the plot device, but I did appreciate the fact that this girl, who I'm guessing is playing 16, 17 years old, you know, high school age.
Yeah, roughly.
Didn't know that all you got to do is pick up the landline and turn it on, and you know what they get? Something called a busy signal. Which is where if you try to call a phone that's already on the off the hook and the dial tone's going, it just goes, and you can't ring through to the person on the other end. See, us older folks, we know these things. We know these tricks. Star 67, Star 69. Star 69, you used to be able to, like, on your landline phone, you used to be able to press Star 69, and it would tell you the phone number that called you on your landline, because you wouldn't be able to tell otherwise unless you paid extra for caller ID, which was this little box that you attached to your landline phone that had the phone number pop up on it. And if you pressed Star 67 before you called someone, they couldn't Star 69 your number and know who called them.
Okay, so those parts I know, because that transferred over to the cell phone world. But when I'm thinking about this, I don't think I've ever used a landline phone. Like, at home.
In your life?
What?
Like, at home.
At work, obviously, but yeah. That's, like, different.
Yeah.
I did all those things that you just said. I still live that life. I know all that stuff. I would prank call people doing that. I got scolded by a car dealership one time. They were not having my shit. My little 12-year-old self trying to be funny. And you know what? From that moment on, I never did it again. Whatever they said to me, I don't recall. It stuck with me.
But I can completely see how a girl that's, you know, in this day and age, 16, 17 years old, cell phones, doesn't understand the basics of landline phone usage and being sneaky about right. It. So, like, she could have avoided this whole situation had she listened to the Scream episode of the TH Cinema podcast and learned that all you got to do is put the phone off the hook to get a busy signal. Avoid them ghost faces. Very much the same as the beginning of the original Scream movie. You know, we start off with the cold open of her answering the phone. What's your favorite scary movie? We're going to do the trivia bit. Murder, murder, murder. They do a lot of, like, technology incorporation. You know, like, oh, I'm going to send video messages. I did, like, as she was calling 911, the little text message popped up and blocked her from calling it. Like, don't dial that phone. Like, I was like, oh, that's a clever way to make sure that she doesn't use her cell phone to dial 911. Just have Ghostface, not just Ghostface in the real world, but his Ghostface text messages pop out of nowhere also and block you.
That honestly is one of my biggest questions that I don't know has ever been answered in a Scream movie in the past is, like, how he gets all these capabilities. Like, he kept locking and unlocking the door in the beginning. How does he always have access to everything? You know, he's everywhere, like, all of the time somehow.
I was wondering that myself. I was waiting for them to, like, reveal, like, somebody that was kind of into computers.
Yeah.
Or somebody that really wasn't into computers. Like, you know, because I was waiting for the whodunit of it all, the red herring
right,
of it all.
Right.
So, like, I was already at that point. I'm like, okay, technology guy. Like, making my little suspect list. Check. But I did like that he used that to his advantage. Like, later on when he was tracking the dude and stuff like that, like, the technology that's made to keep us safe, the GPS tracking, the smart house locks, stuff like that, is what was their downfall 100%. You know, I think that's a really interesting way to play into it, especially when you're playing off the late 90s to 2020s and nostalgia,
right?
You know, difference type thing. And also in that, I think they got extremely lucky that right now, essentially, 90s fashion is kind of making a comeback. Because they were able to, like, you know, throw in at the high school scene, like, the kid with the frosted tips.
Yeah.
And, like, because that's kind of, like, what the style is, like, all the tie-dye and shit like that. Like, that was the actual style of the time. Like, if you take Justin Bieber and what he wears out in public, I could totally see him, like, getting onto, like, Slime Time Live on Nickelodeon wearing the same thing.
It's like they made a retro vintage-esque movie that's not retro or vintage at all. Just, they lucked out. They totally lucked out, like you said.
Yeah, and I'm like, It Follows, where it was like, oh, I don't know what fucking time frame this is.
Yeah.
It was just like they were both able to coexist perfectly at the same time because of, you know, right now that 90s nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
It was the Urban Outfitters of movies.
So they do the after the cold open, they throw the thing up and we get introduced to our main set of teenagers, which, again, very much the fashion and everything throw back to the 90s, give it frosted tips, blah, 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 blah. But at that point, it's very much the exact same scene as the original Scream with the same kind of character feelings. So immediately, again, those fish start swimming by, red herring, red herring, red herring.
Right.
Let's pick up on all the clues of all the little suspects, figure out which one it is. And I don't know if it's the influence of her previous role, but I did peg the one of the killers in that scene.
I did the same.
Yeah, and they did a really good job throughout this movie of making you pretty much skeptical of everybody except for the OG cast.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, everybody on the table was a suspect. Snort, Silent John, Dan, and Frank, all of us. And you even have that weird, like, Billy Loomis looking kid. Like, that's kind of like when he shows up, it's like, okay, hi, Skeet already. Yeah. But then he gets executive decision really quickly. So, you know, we don't have to worry about him.
Yeah, way quicker than I would have thought.
Yeah. I did like that they were like, oh, this guy's a pedophile. And he's fucking
boom,
dead.
Done.
He served no purpose at all.
Yeah, except to look like Skeet Ulrich for a few minutes and then die.
And get killed, yeah.
But in doing so, then we get actual Skeet fucking Ulrich? Imagine visionary ghost Skeet Ulrich.
That seems appropriate. It blew my mind. That's like the last thing I would have expected.
Yeah, and not like old Skeet Ulrich. This is 1996
yeah.
era Skeet Ulrich. With a little...
Just a little smidge.
A little bit of salt and pepper right on the sides.
You look closely.
If you look really closely.
Enhance.
Yeah, once he popped up, I was like, okay, anything is possible in this movie now? Because that was the last thing I expected.
Yeah, we talked about it before. It's like, oh, I hope this person pops up. Nope, they can't do that because they died and they're also 30 years older.
It was at that moment where I thought the portal had opened. And I was like, here we go.
On your left, here comes Matthew Lillard.
Little Jamie Kennedy runs through.
So it's at this point, okay, I don't know if you've noticed, but I haven't really mentioned character names throughout this movie so far. I don't know if it's because, like, I was really into the first ones, you know, being a horror goth kid during the times, or if it's just it was presented better, or if I just gave a fuck more about the characters. But, like, from the get-go, I'm like, I'm watching these high school kids, and I'm like, you know what? I don't give a fuck about any of these kids. Nope, don't care about them. But in thinking that, I thought about it, and I'm like, you know what? But you don't need to give a fuck about these kids. Because going back to the first scene and the way that Ghostface was playing around with Tara, mm-hmm. whose name I do actually know, he's such a good villain. And he's so fun and playful and just, you know what I mean? Unlike Halloween, where you've got this silent, quiet killer walking around, you need a Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, yeah.
But something like a Freddy Krueger, somebody that's that fun villain, you don't need to give a fuck about the people he's killing.
No, not at all.
You need some kind of link to make sure why it's happening. But you don't need to care about these kids. It's about him. And Ghostface has that ability. They could throw out four more of these movies about fucking four more groups of fucking kids. I don't give a fuck. I'll watch them because Ghostface is fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. But you know, one thing that I thought about this movie is, yeah, Ghostface was still like fun and like dumb and stupid, you know. But I thought he was a lot creepier like than... past Ghostface.
Oh yeah, they definitely upped the creepiness vibe. They definitely upped the violence. It was very visceral.
Yeah.
Like so much more so than any of the other ones. Like when you're seeing people getting stabbed, you're seeing people getting fucking stabbed.
Like through their neck, through their face, mm-hmm. up your spinal cord.
I mean, you're not getting any like gun door hit accidentally shoot myself in the head. And you're not getting that though. You're not getting the same like Halloween kills.
Yeah.
Like where it was, you know, violent and a throwback, but it was also kind of fun and campy. It wasn't like fun and campy. No. It was meta, but it was still like the stakes were high.
It was like hard to watch. You know, I mean, it's a movie. You set that aside, but Halloween Kills, we laughed a lot in this movie, but during those scenes, it's like, oh shit, like this, okay. This is real. Like shit's going down.
We laughed because of the dialogue, not because of the campy horror factor of it.
And yeah, I would say this was probably like the strongest ghost. Like, I don't know. Just overpowering everybody. And it's funny to me because after all this time, he's still getting knocked down by the most simplest of items. Come on, man.
He did take a lamp pretty good. Like, I was surprised that like he just kind of turned after he got the lamp broken over his head.
This dude gets shot and gets up, but he's taken down by a little lamp. Come on.
So, but out of the entire cast, the younger sister, Tara, which is why I know her name, very good. I've seen her, I think, in one other movie before, and she was good in that also. She was in like the sequel to The Babysitter, which is like some kind of like satanic cult funny horror movie that's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
It's actually very funny. It's a movie about like a satanic cult of teenagers that sacrifices people every year, and you know, but they were the babysitter of the person they were trying to sacrifice. But it's funny.
Yeah,
you know, like Studio 666 type shit.
Right.
But she was really good. Like the hospital scenes where she was like, you know, crying and she found out about the mom and the dad and shit, like she was solid. Like so in that initial scene where I was like, I don't give a fuck about any of these kids, by the end of the movie I'm like, you know what, I'll follow. If these two girls go to fucking, you know, Alaska and Ghostface wants to hunt them down up there, like I'll watch a movie with these two people in Alaska because that girl's good in it.
Eskimo Ghostface. The parka and then the mask.
I'm gonna get to the potential. You just wait. There's so much potential for so many squeakles. So there's a ghost face about, and they go and they could talk to David Arquette at his sad trailer park.
The veteran.
And, you know, watching his ex-wife on TV every morning, got kicked out of the force. It was my prediction.
Yeah, you called it.
I think getting reintroduced to him when he does arrive, I felt really bad for him. And when we talked before we saw the movie, I wanted him to die. But after we revisit him, and, you know, we see him in a sad little trailer, we see him turning him down and then saying, you know what, no.
Yeah.
I'm fucking Dewey. I'm helping you.
And at that point, you know, like, okay, he's going to sacrifice himself.
It's going to happen.
This poor little punching bag is going to get one last round.
By the time we got there, I didn't want it to happen anymore.
But before all that happens, Dewey's got to drop some snappy fucking rules.
Very important.
Very important. And there was a lot of rule dropping going on in this movie. Again, with the meta-ness of it all, yep, and, you know, yep, them referencing, like, the Stab movies as the Scream movies. You know, when they go into a hospital room, the Dawson's Creek episode that was inspired by Scream is playing on the TV. But in this universe, it's inspired by Stab, I'm sure. But Dawson's Creek somehow still exists.
Meta.
Very meta. So they go over the rules a lot, but Dewey's rules are very, like, nice and quick and snappy. As Dewey's going over this, it got me thinking. Okay, this is Ghostface Incident number 6.
Correct.
There have been 5 Scream movies. This is then the 6th one, and it's a requel. Not involving the, you know, MTV series that live in the SCU multiverse.
Only true screamers know about that one.
Them Scream Queens. It got me thinking, same as, like, Halloween Kills. So this small town, and this always happens in this town, like, they're having ghost face attacks. 1996 to 2022, they're having ghost face attacks on average about every 4 to 5 years.
I already know where it's going.
Where's the ghost face squad? Where's the ghost face busters? And why hasn't this town outlawed more than 4 kids being friends at the same time? Because you know one of them is going to end up being a ghost face if there's 5 of them, at least. If you are Woodbridge, Woodfield, Woodenfeld, whatever.
Woodsboro.
Woodsboro. If you were Woodsboro, California, wouldn't you have a certain, like, legislation passed to try to prevent ghost face attacks from happening, but also have in place a plan, some ghost face sirens around town?
It's just like Halloween, like Michael Myers. Like, these people need to get a clue.
You could run for mayor and get elected solely on, I will prevent ghost face attacks in the future. And why are you going to get rid of David Arquette as sheriff? He's the most ghost-faced experienced motherfucker in town.
But that's the thing. You could put him in that position. Look at the text he sent to Gail. Ghostface is back. That's it. Don't come here. It's just like an Amber Alert that instantly goes out from him.
He's not even doing the job of sheriff anymore, and he's still warning people about ghost-face attacks. This is a public service announcement from Sheriff Dewey. We've had a ghost face sighted in the area of the Walgreens and the Starbucks.
Stay away.
Do you think that ghost face also has smoke breaks like Mike Myers? Like, the killing just gets too much occasionally,
that's,
you know?
Why there's 2 of them. Clocks out, the other clocks in.
Ghostface is outside smoking weed, too. He ain't smoking cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
Ghostface is for sure a stoner.
It's definitely a Ghostface scary movie shared universe. The SSS.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I was just thinking, well, you need 2. Well, you have first shift, you have second shift, third shift is the scary movie one.
I don't know if you have a morning shift, Ghostface.
No.
He's sleeping in.
He killed somebody in broad daylight in this movie. Oh, you definitely have a 9-to-5-er. On your hands.
Yeah, there's definitely somebody. Yeah, he did get her in the middle of the day. She was on her way to get sushi for lunch, so...
He's just like the stapler guy from Office Space. It's just your average Joe. Just out Punch. Doing
All right, have a good night. You too.
Sorry about everything, by the way.
You know, I was going to finish cleaning up, but my shift was over. Sorry. I'll get it next time.
How much do you think Ghostface is getting paid?
In this economy? I think it's a Ghostface market.
Even with inflation?
Well, I think they're able to set their own price right now because there's a ghost face shortage in the economy right now.
Okay.
Or do you think that person's in debt to the real ghost face?
Oh, you think? Okay, so you think this is a Ghostface Pyramid scheme?
Yeah, it's like
the ghost of Skeet Ulrich at the top. And exactly. Every other Ghostface gets to create their own Shit. Squad of Ghostfaces. Shit. And they get 10% of all the kills those Ghostfaces make.
Dang.
So it's like you're your own boss. Eventually, you got the other Ghostfaces doing the work for you.
When did Ghostface turn into the fucking mob?
Then we get our second OG that shows up, Neve Campbell. But I was fully expecting a Steven Seagal executive decision moment to happen when the joggers were in the background of a Scream Ghostface just running up and stabbing her in the neck and killing her right there in that scene. Like, I was not hoping for it, but I thought it would have been fun.
Well, I had the same thought because there was a guy running on the left of her, and it kind of, like, it didn't exactly look like Ghostface, but it had, like, the figure of Ghostface. As it got closer, that kind of illusion went away, but I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, and I'm sure they did that on purpose. Like, the tension building was very good in this movie. Like, it got overused to a meta point, and they made a point to make sure that it got overused to a meta point and make a joke of it, which is why it was funny. But all the doors blocking every, and then, nobody's there.
The music builds.
Nobody's there.
And then it fades.
Yeah, they're very good with the musical stings. Yeah. But again, it was very much they knew what the fuck they were doing. It was playful. It was whimsical.
Yeah.
It was whimsical tension building.
And I think it's, especially for avid moviegoers, it's hard to, you know, jump scare people in today's age. You just, you know when it's going to happen. You brace for it, and it happens, and it's over. But the fact that they were toying with you could still potentially get you, and I like that. Because I was like, fuck, I'm gonna jump. Like, it's going to get me.
It's not about getting hit by the jump scare. It's about the journey to get to the jump scare.
Yeah.
Always the journey.
Enjoy the journey.
So then Dewey, after talking to Neve Campbell and texting Courtney Cox, decides he's going to saddle up and go save the day. And this is when I knew that cow's going out to pasture.
Yep. Yep.
Because there's going to be a self-sacrifice. And it happens later in the movie, but I'm just going to talk about it. I don't fucking care.
Okay. Let it out.
I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
So again, we're living in this town of constant ghost face attacks. Quad annual ghost face attacks. David Arquette, Officer Dewey, has literally been the victim of every ghost face attack. All right, you know, first ghost face attack, all right, you caught me off guard. Second ghost face attack, you know what? Shame on me. Third one, okay, now it's time to change something. We need a life change here, Sheriff Dewey. You need to be in the gym. You need to be taking some Krav Maga, some jujitsu. Like, if every time there's a ghost face, literally every time there's a ghost face in town, he comes after you, wouldn't you just be prepared, have ghost face repellent bags hidden around town so you can just get to him quickly? You know, like, did you not think this was going to happen again? It has happened 5 fucking times to you, David Arquette. And then he goes out in the single most gut... Okay, well, I'll get to that point a little bit later. I just wanted to get that piece off my chest.
Okay.
So Ghostface around, kills the sheriff, not Officer Dewey, the sheriff who, I guess she was in one of the earlier movies also, they made a reference to it, whatever. I didn't recognize her.
I don't remember her.
Yeah, me neither.
But so the sheriff ends up getting killed. She's driving out to get the sushi, and this woman is the sheriff of this goddamn town. She's not watching where she's going. She's texting on her phone. She's answering phone calls. She needs to be a little bit more careful driving around. She was driving around like a maniac.
Yeah, but I think when you're on the phone with Ghostface and he's threatening to kill your kid, I think you get a pass.
No, but again.
She almost ran somebody over, though.
Maybe in your liberal New York City in Los Angeles, but in the town of Woodsboro, they should be used to getting these Ghostface calls. Okay? They should be treating these like, we've been trying to reach you about your car warranty. Oh, Ghostface, fuck, man, again.
And you
likely spam. Likely Ghostface needs to be in that area code's spam blocker.
You have just touched on one of my biggest gripes of this movie. And it's probably something stupid to be upset about. But with everything you just said, she calls for every sheriff unit to her house. This is a very small town. They never show up. She is laying dead on the sidewalk while her son is taking a shower. Now, one person saw it, the sheriff, all the sheriff, the backup were supposed to be there. You would think in a small town, they'd be there 5 minutes.
Maximum. That's if they're sitting on the freeway trying to catch speeders from sitting behind a bush and they got to get off the exit 3 miles down the road. You know this fucking town has a goddamn fucking Super 8, a McDonald's, a fucking Sheets gas station. And then it gets into the actual town where the farms and shit are.
I just don't get it. Because then there's the cop from the hospital who, when she's like, who's watching the room? He's like, where were you fucking an hour ago, dude?
Okay, can we talk about this hospital shit? Okay, the Tara girl, the little sister's in the hospital. And the sheriff's plan is to move her to an empty floor to make her safer. I'm going to have less potential witnesses around. So, I'm, you know, again, a little fishy, little red herring swimming on by. Maybe it's the sheriff.
Yeah.
Okay, and they put her up on this floor by herself with this one inept guy who ends up dead. Don't even know his name. Ghostface comes to this empty floor that she's on, kills the cop that's watching her that the other cop didn't, like, know, took over his shift. They didn't have a Ghostface clock in, clock out moment. Hey, Jim, have a good shift, you know. And Ghostface is going after her, and this girl, like, again, very good performance. Mm-hmm. Like, her in the wheelchair, broken leg, hand been stabbed through. Like, her trying to get away so fucking bad and so slowly. Like, it was very good. It visceral again.
Very real, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Felt very bad for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as Ghostface is about to capture her, you know, in the reverse play of, you know, she's moving slowly, the killer's faster than her, we get Officer Dewey and Sam in the elevator out of nowhere. So I'm running to the hospital to save this girl that's on the top floor that's apparently empty. There's one other floor
mm-hmm.
full of fucking people.
Yeah.
How do you not inform, like, security, nurses? Why aren't the fire alarms going off anywhere? Like, or the ghost face alarms, like the little ghost face masks are flashing. So this entire hospital that you would assume is full of normal people, security guards, nurses, doctors on the ground floor, maybe the second floor, depends how tall it is. There was an elevator, so I'm guessing it's at least three stories.
Makes sense.
Maybe four.
Yeah.
Why wasn't there like 12 other security guards coming up there after like 20 seconds after Dewey and them got up there?
That's all this movie is a bunch of whys. Why are these people stupid?
Because I didn't think about that, but now that I did.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
You know, they went through this entire hospital, they went back down after the Ghostface attack, and, you know, nobody went up to go find the Ghostface.
Damn. What the fuck are people doing the whole time?
Yeah, and on the note of what the fuck are people doing, Dewey, David Arquette, our poor little punching bag for six movies, finally gets Aunt May'd.
Can I say something before we get to that moment? When he's just fighting with Ghostface and stuff, you know? Everyone's just standing around watching. No one decided to jump in and try to help him. Help the old man.
Well, again, this is a man who survived five Ghostface attacks at this point. You have to assume that he's going to defeat this Ghostface. The track record shows that Dewey's going to be fine. And you also have to think, this guy's probably been training for this moment for the past 10 years, knowing a Ghostface was coming for him.
It's what he kind of lives for at this point. It's all he's got left.
Yeah,
I just think they probably could have helped a little more than they did.
So Dewey dies, and it's a very, like, I didn't think it was fitting enough for him. After five Ghostface attacks, he knows the rules. He knows what he's got to do.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't go down the elevator. What does he do? We got to go shoot it in the head, otherwise it's just going to come back. I've dealt with this before. If you don't put it in the head, Ghostface has come back. And he walks back to shoot this Ghostface in the head and gets interrupted by a phone call. Experienced Ghostface hunter. Ghostface prepared. Shoot the Ghostface, then answer your phone call. But instead, he just gets gutted.
Imagine if he would have done it that way, though. Whoever's calling him is like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, oh, nothing. I just killed Ghostface. Just no day.
Oh, you know, just a usual Wednesday for Officer Dewey.
Hey, that's Sheriff Dewey to you, sir.
He has to stop and send out his final, like, Ghostface Amber Alert.
He did immediately become the sheriff, like, somehow right after that sheriff died. Like, it's, you know, a king and a prince. In the Middle Ages, the sheriff is dead. Long live the sheriff.
It also could be, it's just a real small town like Dewey. We got nobody else. We need you back.
You're the most experienced Ghostface. So we get into our third act. As they escape the hospital, they're going to leave town. And they go to the most 90s party that's ever taken place in the year 2020. It had a very, like, can't hardly wait, like, 90s party movie vibe. You know, like, something you'd see, like, the party scene from American Pie.
Yeah.
Like, it was very quizzential 1990s. You got kids underage drinking. You got people play in high schoolers that look like they're 45 somehow. Like, did you see the dude with the full beard and the lady that looked like she must have been at least pushing 35?
I didn't see the lady, but the guy with the beard, when it instantly panned to everybody, I was like, who the fuck is that guy?
Ghostface. Ghostface.
I missed him. I didn't see him.
Stood out like a sore thumb. I was like, teenager, yeah, you gotta go, buddy. He's the cool guy. I borrowed the alcohol. Look at me. I was really good at beer pong back in my day. You guys ever hear a flip cup?
You ever watch the original Stab movie?
Bro. Stab. Come on. You've seen it, right?
You seen Stab. He's right behind you. He's right behind you. You've seen it.
This went a lot farther than I expected.
I feel like we just wrote a reason for him to be into the movie now. Now it's just canon. It's fine.
Okay, now I understand why he was at that party. Okay. Got it.
We created the story for him.
Yeah.
Still, though, come on, man. Read the room.
We got you 40-year-old bearded man. So in the third act, I will say, like, I was taking pretty good notes throughout the movie, but, like, in the third act, I kind of got engrossed, and mm-hmm. I stopped kind of taking notes. I just wanted to kind of experience the ending, because I enjoyed the movie so much. I love that, again, they did, like, rules bits and shit like that. Like, oh, don't go into the basement, mm-hmm. you know, and they were doing the door bit a lot. And, like, oh, I could have been the killer. You could have been the killer. We're both the killer. Neither of us. Like, they played it really fun. But the candlestick? Don't forget to bring a weapon. And the dude grabs the most clue-looking silver candlestick. Headed to the goddamn conservatory.
I mean, it was a pretty big candlestick, though. I don't know the thought process. Maybe I was just, fuck it, it's the first thing I see.
Yeah.
But
I like the placement of the candlestick, because you know it was just like it was there to be fucking dumb and stupid. Like, oh, candlestick, guess we're playing Clue.
Does somebody else grab a candlestick later in the movie, too? Does Sydney grab one?
No, I think she grabbed the lamp. Or I think Gail grabbed the lamp.
Gail?
I thought that was a
grabbed
stupid
the lamp in the den. Sydney grabbed the candlestick in the stairwell.
But maybe...
It was Colonel Mustard. Colonel Mustard is Ghostface.
I do feel like the house could double as the Clue house.
Yeah, it's the crossover we now need.
Yeah.
So everything goes topsy-turvy. Everybody's getting murdered. You know, it's the end of a Scream movie, and it's a party. Everybody's getting murdered, and it's super fun.
Slasher, kill.
We find out that the house where this party's taking place is the Matthew Lillard house where the original Scream party took place, which when I found that out, I was kind of sad by the end of the movie. We didn't get like a good garage scene.
Yeah. I thought the basement scene was going to go that route. And then it fizzled.
I was trying to figure out how the basement scene was going to go that route. And I was thinking like trying to get through like a basement window or something. Ooh, and like, you know, getting like stabbed in the stomach while you're in there, like, you know, some kind of playback to it. But I would have liked to have seen like, at least in the last shot when they were doing the slow pan away, you didn't even get a good shot of the garage.
Yeah.
The garage was a very integral part of the original Scream. You don't give a little reference to it.
You really didn't see much of the house. Like, it wasn't that big of a thing.
Yeah, it wasn't that big of a reveal. One. And you couldn't really, like, oh, that's the kitchen island. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when they said it and you saw the living room and, like, the way it was set up and she's watching the movie of the original Stab while sitting on that couch and... the thing's coming up behind the guy on the movie, and he's like, oh, look behind you. Yeah. The movie he's watching. And then she's to meta.
Metaverse.
Like, you could tell a little bit at that point, but aside from that, it wasn't, like, noticeably that house. But so you find out that it's the girl that lives at that house who was the reason that I thought it was her from the opening scene was because she was one of the crazy chicks in, or one of the crazy Manson cult members. From Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Same actress.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
I'm going to need a second watch to remember.
Yeah, because I don't remember, like, any of those people, weirdly enough.
So, like, I had her pegged, but the boyfriend to Sam, what was his name, Quaid?
Jack Quaid.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really suspect, and I have a couple of issues. I have a couple of whys. He was very animate about getting them both out of town.
Yes.
And they were both very animate to going to his accomplice's house to get something before they do. And he was also very animate about murdering them with his accomplice. Why would he be wanting to get, like, no, let's not go back to the party. Or let's not go to the party house on the way out. Let's just go. Let's go to Modesto. Can you make it without your inhaler? No, dude, you want to keep him in Woodsboro.
Well, yeah. Maybe it was just so they wouldn't get suspicious. Because everyone's a suspect.
Everyone's a suspect. So it gets revealed and, you know, they go through the, you know, oh, Neve Campbell shoots this one. Courtney Cox shoots this one. It's super fun ending. Like, it played out very well.
You're playing the hits at this point, you know? Because this really was almost a carbon copy of the first one. It's just, you know, you have the new blood, you have the veterans, and then you get the nice shot of all three at the end, you know, the classic
the
characters.
Passing of the torch.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the bitch gets set on fire.
I love how she conveniently turned the stove on for her inevitable demise.
Okay, and I do have another why. Or another, okay, this could, and this question can turn the entire SCU on its head.
Whoa.
Okay.
What?
That's a big claim.
So, for some reason, we neglected to mention the twist of the fact that both these girls that are getting hunted by the Ghostface are Billy Loomis's daughters. Or, yes. Well, the older one's Billy Loomis's daughter.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the reason she's been seeing the visions of Billy Loomis, dead Billy Loomis, in her head. In the third act, when she's about to get killed by Jack Quaid, the ghost Billy Loomis in the mirror gives her a little look like, hey, look over there. Grab that knife over there. So now we have to deal with the fact that there's a sentient Skeet Ulrich ghost. This isn't just like, a figment of her imagination or her grief or something. This thing is aware and conscious. She didn't notice that knife. It noticed that knife and told her to get it. She didn't know it was there until it told her. There's ghosts in the SCU.
Yeah, Ghostface.
Scream the resequel. The resquequel. It's Ghostface trapped in a haunted house with all the other killers from Scream as ghosts hunting him down. Who's to say at some point these ghosts don't learn how to manifest themselves into bodies or possess somebody and take them over? We could have a possession with somebody pretending to be Matthew Lillard in the future because Matthew Lillard ghost took over their body and decided to be Ghostface again. We could have a full-on The Frighteners scenario going on right here.
Ooh.
Or it's going to be Scream 8.
Which I would be okay with that too.
So everything wraps up cleanly. Both the Ghostfaces get killed very gruesomely. And we get a beautiful ending shot, which is the exact same ending shot as the first one, with the slow pull of the house, the exact same lines being said by the reporter.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm. Exact same dialogue.
Good touch.
I didn't know that.
A perfect way to wrap up this movie.
Potentially the franchise?
See, but that's not... I'm on board again with this. I will watch some Scream sequels, Ghosts... existence aside in the SCU. Like I said earlier, like these girls with the older one being Billy Loomis's daughter, you've got a built-in storyline to continue this on for however many sequels you want. These girls move to Alaska. Some fucking crazy ass Ghostface fan is going to fucking hunt them down in Alaska. These two girls are the star. Third movie. The main girl that's Billy Loomis's daughter dies from a Ghostface attack while they're on vacation in Cabo or something, you know? Ghostface on, and the little sister grows up to be an astronaut in Scream 4, and now you've got Ghostface on the ISS.
Yeah, I don't know about all of that.
Hey, Jason took a boat to Manhattan, and then went to hell, and then fought with Freddy. When you die into the fun and the schlock of your own movie, you can make great, beautiful things happen.
Did Jason go to space too?
Jason went to space after he was cryogenically frozen for 10,000 years and was resurrected by nanobots.
I guess if Jason can do it,
that was after he went to actual hell. And then he went to Manhattan after hell before space. That's what I'm saying. Like I said earlier in the podcast, like with such a fun character,
yeah,
you've got all the potential in the world. Who knows? A Ghostface cult in the new Scream number 3 that's hunting them all down. An army of ghosts' faces.
I'm on board with that one. I like that one a lot. There's a lot of potential with that one. I don't know. I feel like Scream is, like I said, it's very campy still, very meta. And it's that perfect level of where all those pitches sound kind of believable to me still. I don't know if I would love it, but I think if there was a horror franchise, scary movie franchise to pull it off, it might just be Scream, honestly. I also really liked this movie. I liked how it ended, and I would be fine if it ended right here. We've seen what happens when you keep it going. We had a strong first one, a decent second one, and then you fall out of love with it because it just becomes very, very bad. And this one surprised me in so many ways with how good it was and how much I enjoyed it that I just don't want to ruin it again.
But I think tonally, I think they found what they were looking for in it. Like they tried it in Scream 4, and they tried it in Scream 5, but it didn't really bite. I think tonally they did. And they've got, like I said earlier, in the first half, like Scream, colon, the Next Generation. Like, you've got the potential with these two actresses and with the backstory of them and with them surviving the first movie to be able to build off of and carry on. And you don't even need the Jamie Lee Curtis in this because Ghostfaces, as long as you give Ghostfaces a reason to kill, you don't need somebody for them to kill that you care about.
Right.
Yeah, I think just the end scene when Billy's kid is killing the Ghostface, like just how you didn't know which way like that was going, I feel like that scene was setting something up. So I have no idea what's going to be next.
Yeah.
I mean, think that it'll be something.
That was vicious. And she's got the ghost, a sentient ghost of Billy Loomis in her brain. What if Skeet Ulrich possesses her in the next movie and she's the next, like, again, potential, and a lot of fun in that potential.
I'd be into that. That's what makes me okay with the potential of there being more. I'm fine if it stops here, but I'm also on board if they go that route too, you know?
Well, like, let's say, we're, you know, a couple Scream attacks down the line. We're Scream 5. They've moved to Hollywood, California. Okay. We're kind of doing a Scream 3 requel.
Okay.
And they're shooting the movie Scream 4, Stab 4, starring Mr. Nicolas Cage. And Nicolas Cage, the actor, gets possessed by both Skeet Ulrich and Matthew Lillard. And then you've got Nicolas Cage pretending to be both of them at the same time fighting with each other and trying to break the Nicolas Cage out of it all. Tell me you wouldn't buy that ticket, John. As ridiculous as it is, tell me you wouldn't buy that ticket.
I actually already pre-ordered. I'm in. Nick Cage is all it takes. Come on.
Nick Cage and Willem Dafoe are shooting a buddy movie. So Willem Dafoe gets to pretend to be Matthew Lillard.
Oh my goodness.
And Nick Cage gets to pretend to be Skeet Ulrich.
Stop. I'm melting over here. Drip, drip, drip.
And that was Scream the Requel. So coming up next on the show, we've got another holiday episode on our hands.
Mm-hmm.
I've come to the information that neither Silent John nor Snort has seen Groundhog's Day.
Nope, never.
Yeah. I don't know why. We've made a mistake, I feel like, though.
Yeah. And with Groundhog's Day coming up, I thought, you know, it's a perfect opportunity to show that off. Groundhog's Day is kind of like a, like Bill Murray was very funny, slapsticky back in the 80s and stuff. And this was kind of his like sad clown movie. This was his Truman Show. It's got a lot of like existentialness to it. You know, it's very 80s. You know, there's lessons learned and shit like that. But it's very, it's very heartfelt, and it's his performance is really good, and it's funny, and I think you both are going to enjoy it, and it's, you know, obviously fitting for the day itself.
Right. This feels like it's going to be a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles situation for me, where like I know I should have already seen it, and I have high expectations, and it's going to either meet or exceed those expectations. I'm happy to finally have, you know, put my eyes on something like this.
I hope it turns out like that, because I don't think I'm not, like, dreading watching it, but I'm not excited to watch it either. I just have no opinion.
I think you'll like it, because it's very sweet. It's got, like, that kind of, like, Christmas movie feel for a Groundhog's Day movie.
Yeah, you got to remember, too, I'm not a huge Bill Murray fan. Yeah. That's the one thing.
Same thing, you know, like, let's say Jim Carrey, okay, we're talking the sad clown movies. Jim Carrey, if you take everything that you know about him pretty much from, like, you know, Ace Ventura and shit like that, obviously you're going to be like, oh, fucking Jim Carrey. Like, Will Ferrell, same thing. Oh, Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
But then you watch something like Stranger Than Fiction, you know, with Will Ferrell, and it's like that heartfelt role, and do they actually get to perform instead of just be funny? It kind of changes your taste. I mean, there's a reason that Bill Murray was in Lost in Translation. It's because the man can fucking put on a performance with them sad eyes.
He really can. And that's why I'm excited.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be a good watch. I think it will change your perception of Bill Murray.
I'll give it a shot.
I'm not saying you're going to go watch Caddyshack the day after, but
hey, I'm along for the ride.
You might watch some Lost in Translation. You might give that a shot. All right, and that's going to wrap up this week's episode. We are on the Instagram at TH Cinema Podcast. We are on the Spotify. We are on the Apple Podcasts. iTunes Store? No, iTunes Store doesn't exist anymore. No. Sorry, I just watched a Scream movie. you can download us off Napster or LimeWire.
Oh, hell yeah.
E-Bombs World.
Dang, you're digging.
Newgrounds.com.
Of course. Digging deep. Very, very relevant for the movie, though.
Shout out Chaz, shout out Leo, and shout out to some bottle of bitches. That's going to wrap up Scream. We had a screaming good time.
Are we Scream Queens now?
I think we're Scream Curious.
Okay.
So we'll see you guys next week for Groundhog's Day. And if you see three ghost faces smoking a lot of weed, hiding behind some doors, ready to pop out and scare you, come over and say hi. That might just be us. Bye.
Slice, slice. Bye.
Bye.
This girl, the one that I fingered as the killer, was the killer. The one that I suspected.
Don't be the bearded guy at the party. Don't be that guy. Garfield fan, and I was skeptical. Okay, but what?
I thought you were still talking about the cat.
Both the comic strip and the actor, massive supporter of both. Just let that be known.
How do you feel about lasagna?
Love lasagna, and I, in my opinion, I make a damn good one. On the rare occasion.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt.
I was originally referring to Andrew Garfield.
The actor.
The actor.
Not the cat.
Thank you.
Not the meow meow one.